like to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy. We've been going through this book, expounding from Scriptures, the things concerning Christ as our Lord had taught the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, obviously, we're working with the New Testament, and this is a letter from Paul to Timothy. But just as the Lord taught those two disciples on the road to Emmaus the things concerning him, using the Old Testament at that time, our Lord does the same with each and every one of his children throughout all time. We must be all taught of God, as we read in our Bible study this morning. And we will. God's people will be taught of the Lord. We sing the words, "More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine." Our Lord says, "My sheep hear my voice." Yeah. Not maybe. Not might. Not possibly. He says, "They hear my voice."
Amen.
Would you join me in chapter 3, beginning at verse 1? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work." Paul is writing to Timothy, instructing Timothy on the duties of pastor. Timothy has proved himself in the faith over the years. We don't ever put anybody in a position of leadership that has not proven themselves over a time to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Timothy is new as a pastor, and Paul is instructing him in the ways of a pastor. "This is a true saying," he says, "if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and good, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in submission with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy, a filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience." Holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Folks, all of God's Word is important. There's nothing in this book that is not truth and not important to consider. All of God's instructions are important. But without faith, everything else we read in this book is meaningless. Israel heard the word of the Lord, but they heard it without faith, and therefore it was meaningless to them, and they perished in the wilderness. I once told my son, this faith is a mystery, and it is a mystery to the world. I once told my son the mystery and the joy of having a child. A baby. your own blood born. And I told him, I said, it doesn't matter how I describe this to you. It doesn't matter what words I can use to explain to you the wonder, the beautiful wonder of your child coming into this world and holding that child for the first time. The Lord blessed me in my days. It was right on that cusp where most men didn't go into the hospital with their wives. I think my brother Lee was there for his second, but I don't think he was there for his first. I think that was when they told the dads, nope, you go wait outside and we'll call you when it's ready, when it's done cooking. They allowed me to go in with both of my children. And this side of heaven, folks, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing your child come. What a joy. My wife, who went through the terror, pain that comes with childbirth. I remember her face. She was red. She was sweaty. Her hair was a mess. There was at one point, I'm not kidding, there was at one point she actually got off the bed, stood straight up like almost like a devil, and she told her grandma, get out! Totally different Kathy, but as soon as that child came into this world, wow! Her face just lit up, and her smile was from ear to ear, and Dad was standing there like going, whoa, look at that. That's how kind of I explained this to my son. Now, he's had two children, and he came to me afterwards and he says, Dad, I know what you mean. You are absolutely right. I had no idea with that explanation what you were talking about until I experienced it myself. Faith. Faith is something that we can talk about. We can explain it. We can use God's word. We can do just like the leaders of Israel did, preaching the gospel to Israel. But without faith, without the experience of faith, you will not understand these words. Words cannot reveal the joy. It must be experienced, and the world does not know this faith. And though we explain the importance of it, the necessity of it, and the origin of it, the world will not understand it. Now let's be very clear about something. Faith does not save. Christ Jesus the Lord is the Savior of His elect. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. But one who is saved must have faith. In the book of John 3:14, we read this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth, whosoever has faith in Him, should not perish, but have eternal life. That's God's word.
That's good news.
Whosoever believeth, whosoever trusts, whosoever has faith. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 if you would. And let's start with, where does this true faith originate from? Scriptures tells us that we come into this world spiritually dead in trespasses and sin, right? It also tells us that the spiritual things of God are enmity to our natural state of mind. That means that everything that is read in this book, that is written in this book about the Lord Jesus Christ, is enmity against the natural man. We come into this world, we don't care about what this book says and its truths. We want to make it to say what we want it to say. That's why there's so many different religions in the world today. You go back to the Bible Belt in Tennessee and Kentucky, and I've shared this with you before, when Kathy and I were driving back there to go to Don Fortner's conference, Bill is on the phone with me at times talking on the cell phone, and he could go on the GPS and he says, "Oh, look, there's a big old church on the corner up there, right above you." He was doing that straight thing, you know, that live GPS thing. That's pretty neat stuff. But then he'd say, "Oh, wait a minute, there's another church on the other corner, right across the street. Well, there's this church on all four corners. And they're all some kind of a Baptist church." There are so many religions because people make God's word to fit their own ideas. And they do it because the truth of God's word is enmity to the natural mind. The things of God don't make sense to the natural man. The truths of God go against all that we can think of, all that we know. Well, that means that the truths of God cannot be seen by the natural man, can it? There are none that search after me. The heart is desperately wicked, our Lord says. True faith, true belief in who God is, what He has done, who He did it for, what He is doing now, does not come naturally to any man or woman or child. It must be instilled by an outside source. It's not something that we can purchase. It's not something that we can think, you know what, I'm just tired of all the troubles I have in this world. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to start following God. And things will get better. That's not the way it works at all. No. Our Lord has to bring us to that point. It must be instilled by an outside source. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 2? Look at verse 1. It says, "And you hath He quickened, and you hath He made alive. You who were dead in trespasses and sin at one time," and in the remainder of that verse, "wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past," our lives, our walk of life. That's what conversation means there. "The lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's God's word, folks. That's how we were. We were just like the world. And if it wasn't for the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'd still be right there just like the world. I am so thankful that my God exercised His will, because my will would have been going down that same path that I had walked for 40 years. But God. Oh, how I love to hear those words. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made alive us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness to us, toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, that's the world. That's how it's a mystery to the world. The world thinks that grace is something that they have earned, something they have received by doing something, exercising their will, walking down the aisle and saying a prayer. Some of them think that it's because we got into this pool that somebody calls a baptismal. And when I got in there, I was saved. God's people weren't saved when they got into the pool. God's people were saved before the world ever began. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ the Lord, was seen as that Lamb before the world was. Yes, He did have to become a man. God did have to become flesh and walk this earth. because he had to fulfill that picture of the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But God, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
You give me one little thing. Give me one little thing and I'll run with that as me. The pride of John will just jump right out and say, "Ah, look what I did." I know, because if you play golf with me, you'll see. Whack! Woo! See how good John can play? I fail at giving my God all the glory. And so much. So much. If there is some way that I could that we could conjure up true faith, either by purchasing it or earning it or by anything else that we could do, then we would brag about our own work. How often have you been talking to a so-called Christian and heard them declare the date that they followed the Lord? Every single one of the men that I work with, and I work in a very large place, over 100-something people work at that place. Every single one I've ever talked to about the Lord has told me one way or another, if they've listened, if they wanted to talk to me about it, have told me the date when they began to follow Christ. I began to follow the Lord in 1920 or 1948 or 1950 or 19 or 2000 or whatever. I started following the Lord then. And I've been following Him ever since. It's all about I. Have you ever heard anybody say, "I found God. I'm a better person now. I don't smoke. I quit drinking. I conquered alcoholism because I found God. I conquered smoking cigarettes because I found God. I decided to follow Jesus. I. True faith cannot be bought. It cannot be earned, and it cannot be merited in any way. Look at verse 8 again of this second chapter of Ephesians. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. By the grace of God, He saves us through faith. What is this mysterious faith that Paul is telling Timothy about? It's the faith that God's people have. A faith that leads the people of God to sing out these words, "Sovereign grace, salvation is of the Lord." Turn over to Romans, if you would, chapter 10. This faith is strange to the wise of this world. They cannot comprehend it. It doesn't make any sense to them. How can you say that I'm dead? How can you say that I'm a sinner? How can you say that there is no righteousness in me? I do this. I give to the poor. I go to church on Sundays. Remember the rich young man who came to Jesus? And he said, "Lord, I've done all that. I've done all the things of the law since I was a child." And the Lord says, "Give all that you have away and come follow me." And he walked away sad. They say, "I do this." They say, "I don't do that." Or, "I am this," or, "I am that." Our faith goes against the wisdom of this world. In 1 Corinthians, you don't need to turn there, I'll read it for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Did you catch that? The preaching of the cross. That the sovereign God of all creation, He who knows every hair on your head, went to the cross and died for the sins of His people. And that perfect blood that was shed on that cross, that perfect payment for all the sins of His people throughout all of time, is so perfect that the payment was made perfectly and it cannot be taken away. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called. This is God's word, folks. Not unto them which made the decision for Christ, but unto them which are called. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things are not, which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence.
Amen.
But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." The Lord, the Spirit, comes to His chosen people. He comes to those, all those whom the Father hath given the Son shall come to them. Why? Because the Spirit brings us. The Spirit of God puts us in a position where we come to the church of God, to the building where God's preacher stands before us and preaches the true gospel, the true faith, and brings true faith to hear. He takes the old stony heart, the Spirit does, and He removes it, replacing it with a new heart, a new spirit, a new nature, one that believes the truths of God. Our Lord says we must be born again. And he does this through the preaching of His word. Are you with me in Romans 10? Look at verses 11 through 15. "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now here's the key to that. Here's the key to this scripture. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now look at verse 17 of that same chapter. We're talking about the mystery of faith. So then faith this faith that the world does not have, this faith, this true and saving faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what we just read. That's what we just read there. How are you going to call upon the name of somebody that you've never heard? How are you going to believe in that somebody? There's a different Jesus being preached in the world, folks. A Jesus without power. One who has done all that he can, and he's waiting for the people of God to come to him and do whatever it is they're supposed to do, whether it get baptized, whether it be worship on a Saturday, no matter what, you put whatever you want in there. That's a different Jesus. It's a different Jesus than the Jesus of Scripture, for the Jesus in Scripture has all power in heaven and earth under his feet. He is the Lord of all, the King of kings. God-given faith comes by the hearing of his word, by the preaching of his gospel. Now, a word of warning. This God-given faith can diminish. Now, I'm not saying God's people can lose their salvation, for salvation is of the Lord. And no man can pluck the people of God from the hand of the Father. That's Scripture. For he is greater than all. But Abraham, the so-called father of faith, became weak in the faith over time, didn't he? He was promised a child. And somewhere before that child came into his wife, at the age of 100, and I believe 90, I don't know the exact ages there, but it's up in those areas, Sarah gave Hagar, her handmaiden, to her husband. Abraham's faith faltered, didn't it? I know God made me this promise, but maybe I need to help out a little bit. Maybe I need to do something. And he had Ishmael. Ishmael, the son of a bondwoman. Abraham, the so-called father of faith, became weak. Not only does our Lord save us through his word, he sustains us. This preaching of the gospel is what is needed to continue in faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I came to this church for 20 years to hear about my Lord and Savior, because if I was out in that world without hearing about it, I'm going to get weak. I'm going to start thinking John can hit that ball right down the middle of the fairway. I'm going to start thinking John can do this. It's okay, I got it. I can handle it. No, I can't. But my Lord can. And God's people put everything at the feet of their Lord Jesus Christ, into his hands, knowing that he is the ruler of all it is. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would, please. We need to hear God's word. God's word is what sustains our faith. I have said over and over again that salvation is of the Lord, right? Yeah. I've said over and over again that God was manifest in the flesh. He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. The blood of the living God was shed on that cross just over 2,000 years ago, and it accomplished exactly what it was shed for. He says, I purposed it, and it shall come to pass. A God who rules over every detail of creation, sovereign, is mystery to the natural world. This same Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, let's begin reading in verse 1 of Peter chapter 1. And Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, called, chosen, predestined, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification, through the separation, through the made holiness, through the setting apart of the Spirit of unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's our life. Folks, we walk through this life and temptations are all around us. Not just temptations from the world, but temptations that come from within. Temptations to think, I can do this on my own. Temptations to think that I do have this under control. Temptations to think I. Those temptations are around us every day, whether we're out there in the world or whether we're in our own closets. Aren't you glad that God has made it a heaviness on our hearts? Look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, the trial of that faith the world does not understand, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that faith, that precious faith, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When God comes to his people and gives us the faith to believe on him, to trust on him, and he tries that faith with trials and tribulations that we must go through in this world. The trial and tribulation that Jonah went through as he ran from God. And he came out the other side singing, "Salvation is of the Lord." Praising our Lord for the wonderful love that he has for his people. For this one who calls himself Jonah. For this one who calls himself John. Praising my Lord for what he's done for me, shedding his own blood. God became a servant for my sake. For all the sakes of his people. He who gives us faith, the faith that we need, he tries it, he tests it, not because he needs to know how strong it is, but that so we will know how strong our faith is. I shared with you last week about my brother and how he looked to God's word in Romans 8:28, all things, and how he and his wife leaned on that word for their strength when their son was taken from him at an early age. Pastor Gene has shared with us time and time again on how his son died in his arms and how the Lord brought him through that test, through that trial, so that Pastor Gene and his wife would know that their faith is in the right place. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his will. Let his will be done. Who are we to question the wisdom of God? Where is your trust this morning? Are you trusting in your flesh? Are you trusting in your decision? Are you trusting in something that you have done? Folks, God's people have no confidence in the flesh. I am so thankful for my Lord being ruler of everything, being Lord of all. When He says, I shall never leave you, nor forsake you. When He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. When He says, no man can pluck them from my Father's hand. I have confidence in that. For I know how this flesh fails. I invite you all this morning, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Look at John verses 1 through 6 with me if you would please, and we'll close. Actually, John 1, verse 6 through 16. How are you going to know about this one who gives faith, true, saving faith? How are you going to know unless you hear? Verse 6 of John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. Catch this next part. Look carefully at what we read. This is God's word. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I speak. This is him, he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Folks, Paul is writing to Timothy to tell him of this mystery. This faith that we have is a faith, it's a God-given faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything our Lord does is perfect. So when our faith is small as a mustard seed, remember this, it's still God-given faith and perfect in His sight.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Stand.